we will have the briefing for the Taiwan trip.
It may take about half an hour or less. Then after that, as I promised you, I will maybe share with you all one aspect of the Dhamma that a lot of you all wanted to understand. Means you start to question and inquire deep who you are, what are you, who are you. And not only as a physical human being, but your true nature and how you come to this world. And what is this human being all about? What is this form and mind all about? So all these questions you can understand. And the Buddha actually explained it very clearly. Yeah, come in. We are still early. Where is Yun Chan? Yun Chan? Oh, she went out. So Yun Chan will brief you all a little bit on the trip, the logistic part. Then after that, I will just give you a summary of what this trip is all about. Then for those who are going, I think I will also maybe give you some pointers as to how you should prepare yourself so that this spiritual come to a trip to Taiwan can be very, very meaningful and useful. It can help you in many ways, especially the spiritual aspect. Come. What is it? Oh, yeah. Can, yeah. It's okay. This one is very useful, the five mental hindrance, then the five spiritual faculty. The other good news is, Yun Chan just told me, we have actually contacted the organizers for this, the Ermei San, the tour operator, that we use, the November spiritual trip to Ermei San, where this Bodhisattva, great Bodhisattva Pusien, or Samantara Bara Bodhisattva way place. We have managed to get him to agree to increase the capacity to about 32, I think. So we still got about 12 places more. But Yun Chan told me about 5 already registered. So for those who still wants to go or interested, you let Sister Yun Chan know. Okay, you want to prepare something for the briefing after the logistic part to Taiwan? No need to write anything. draw something. So before the puja, you still got 5 minutes. I was told the new airport, you need to familiarize a bit. The departure is on level 3, I was told. So Yun Chan has done a lot of study. So he even talked to those who arrive on May the 9th, one of the relatives. So she has good information. So she will brief you. Also on the logistic part. I hope all those who are going, you can check your ticket again tonight. Make sure the date is correct. You leave on the 20th, then come back on the 26th. Because earlier on, one of us, they checked the ticket. She had this ticket leaving on the 22nd. Luckily, before they actually went in and what they call, you need to check in. When she was about to check in, she realized, hey, how come fly on the 22nd? So she immediately go and change her flight back to 20th. So that one cost them some money. So you just do yourself a good favor by checking it. But don't panic, even if it's wrong date. you still can go and change your date. Huh? Yeah. You only have to pay the difference in the fare. I think, huh? And this Taiwan trip is quite unique, huh? Because we are going to this three very famous Mahayana temple. They are Tsuji. Tsuji is one of them, you know. They are famous for compassion in action. Then the next one is at Kaohsiung. We have this singing father, who is the abbot of this Fo Quang San. So this is the second way place. And they are actually famous for Buddhist studies. The third one, which is the last one, is Fa Ku San or Dhamma Drum Mountain. Yeah? This one is by the abbot is the late, what they call Sun Yan Master. Yeah? So Fa Ku San is famous for meditation. Yeah? So Taiwan was very blessed in the sense that they have these three great traditions. Yeah? And for me, there are conditions that suggest I should go. So that's why this year we have the condition to make that trip. And this is a spiritual calm tour trip to Taiwan, with emphasis mainly on these three way places. So we will actually make full use of what we have there to do whatever wholesomeness and to benefit from that spiritual trip. So for those who are not going, you don't worry. We already have the Kayanamita funds that donated 2,000 in total. Tuesday class 1,000, Thursday class 1,000. So that you can also participate in the wholesomeness, partake in whatever goodness that we are doing there. Then you can rejoice. Then for those who still wants to donate a bit on their own, you can just pass it to Stephanie. We will put into a common donation fund for the Taiwan trip, so that when we offer together with the Kayanamita fund and whoever who donate, we will offer them together. Okay, 8:30. Yeah, maybe you just we start off with the puja first,
okay.
Then you continue later. Okay, compose your mind. Develop your sadha, virya, then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start our puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. คาเมสุมิจาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Just relax yourself, huh? Then maintain some form of awareness. Then we will start, huh? So, like I said, tonight we have the briefing for those who are going to Taiwan, huh? And for those who are not going, you can also listen. It will benefit you too, huh? So now I will get Sister Yun Chan, who is the organizer of this, what they call Taiwan spiritual come to a trip, yeah, to brief us on the logistic and certain aspect of the preparation for the tour. Yeah. Yeah, okay, Yuncha, you can use the cordless. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, brothers and sisters. Okay, we're going to Taiwan on 20th, this next news Tuesday. The flight is at 10 a.m. except for those who are taking masks. I think both are not here. So, this is organized actually together with another lady. Actually, she started it first. She's a Taiwanese.
Oh, yeah.
Hui Rong. Yeah. We are from Tuesday class.
Yeah.
So, we have brought you to arrange for this trip. So, actually, the agent is actually ex Reliance manager. It so happened he just retired. So he made the ground arrangement. He asked us to book our own tickets to get Asia ticket or whatever ticket we want to book. So that he made all the ground arrangements. Okay, so now we have a problem here because we are going through KLIA 2, and all of us are new there. So, there are three stories to KLIA 2. So we're going to leave from level 3. The taxis that you book will come straight here to level 3, the departure hall. You just go straight in, and then you can the check-in counters are all in front. So you can just go do your checking in, and after your check in, we meet at Royal Selangor because McDonald's is right inside there. So you can't meet, we meet at Royal Selangor, which is after the checkout counters. It's at the end here before we enter the international departure hall. Get into the international departure hall, and then we get through the immigration and customs, and then we have to walk. Now you know that in KLIA we had to take the sky train.
It's okay.
So imagine we have to take a train to go from the immigration. We take a train to go across to the other side to board the plane. We now in KLIA 2, we have to walk. We have to walk this length. So that's why, Sri An, you have to get a wheelchair for your mom.
Yeah.
I ordered already. I think no problem. They will surely deliver. because it's that long a distance, to walk right across. So I heard that they are having walkulators. Hopefully the walkulators are working. So then we can walk right across here and then to the other side. This side is domestic. This is like aeroplane. They make the airport like an aeroplane. So there's this wing here and there's this wing here. So this is domestic. It's under J. The departure lounge number. So this one is domestic and international. So if you are at these two ends, then it's easy because this one they have got the airway bridge here, and so you can just walk in. So you don't have to walk right across.
Okay.
So they have this side, but they have international and domestic this side under L. So it depends on where we are. If not, we have to go right across here. That's a long distance. I think along the way, there's got food court, and I think McDonald's is somewhere inside here.
Yeah, so we cannot meet there. Huh? We meet at Royal Selangor.
Royal Selangor. There are a lot of shops here before we depart international departure gate. So we wait here, and Mr. Tan also will be coming.
Yeah, meeting us there.
To meet us here. So all of us assemble. Once you finish, we assemble here.
Okay, good. Anything else?
Before we join in. Arrival is on level 1. So understand the arrival. You come in here. Then you have to take you come in at ground level. You have to take an escalator that goes right up to level 3, third floor.
Yeah.
Third floor, and then you have to walk all the way to the immigration to go through. And then after that, you take the escalator all the way down. Now you go to your baggage. You collect your baggage, and then you go out. It's a different level. There's a road there, and you can go out leave.
Okay.
So I guess all of y'all have made your airport transfers already, arranged everything. Okay, then the other thing would tell you about the itinerary in Taiwan. So when we arrive in Taipei Airport, which is somewhere here, Taipei is here. The airport is somewhere here. We'll take a bus to go to Yilan. The spelling before is Yilan, but if they follow Hanyi Pinyin, they'll put Yilan.
Okay.
I don't know whether they change names.
No problem. No problem.
Then they come over to Yilan. We stay a night here by bus. Then from here we'll take a train down to Hualien. And Hualien, we'll see Turji. We'll be visiting Turji. Also at Tarogo Gorge, the national park.
Yeah.
Down here is a beautiful, one of the beautiful places. Yes? I have been before. You just go on your... The bus will be... Then you stop at one point further down, but you go along. There's a gorge. It's a gorge, and not much walking. You look at the scenery. You go all the way, until somewhere in the center. Then you can stop and look at some of these ladies. They wear all their traditional costume around, and you just a very short walk lah. Not much walking. It's more in the bus scenery. You can see the scenery all inside over here at Tarago Gorge. Then you take a train back up here to what? Da Tong. What's it called?
Jiufen.
Jiufen is there, and Lord. Lu Tang.
Never mind, it's okay.
You go to Lu Tong, And then from there you will visit Jiufen and one temple. Mm. There's another temple here. Then from there we take a bus already. This is still train, huh? This is a scenic train ride with you can see the seaside.
Yeah.
Then from here we cut across to Maoli. I don't know how the road will be, but this part is the highland, no?
Yeah.
It's a highland area. This
mountain
side.
Range.
Mountain range. There are mountain ranges here. Yeah. So they come more to Maoli. Then you see another temple, what? Ling Jiu Temple. Ling Jiu San. Then after that, I think over here, you stay in that flying cow. Flying cow.
Yeah,
the farm.
Flying cow. The farm.
It's a farm stay.
The farm stay, yeah.
According to Hui Rong, she said that was a very, very expensive
yeah,
place.
Yeah, expensive and famous place.
It's a farm stay
so
there.
The Mr. Tan, I think, managed to book for us with the dinner, lunch, everything.
Why you call it flying cow? Because there are flying cows there.
I don't know whether cows can fly there.
No, you continue. Enjoy, continue.
Then we the following. Sorry. This time of the year, I checked the. No, it's raining. So bring your raincoat just in case. It's not very hot. The temperature ranges between 21, 22 at night, and daytime is about 28.
Oh, very
29.
Good. That's very good. Very nice. Yeah.
So, but for them, it's more humid than other times of the year. So bring your raincoat.
Yeah.
It's cooling. So it's bring a cardigan for night time because when you go out. It's Tairago Gorge will be a bit cooling because up the higher up, but then it's daytime, so it's Then we travel south from here to Kaohsiung.
Fo Kwang San.
Fo Kwang San. Don't know how it's spelled.
Never mind. SH. It's okay.
Then from Kaohsiung, the following day we stay the rest of the day, Fo Kwang, until the next day. Then we move off to Sun Moon Lake.
We will be seeing Si Fu Zhong Jian also. Yeah.
We
Joyce got a question, I think. Okay, good.
Yes, Joyce. Can you
say that we're
staying at the Fo Kwang San?
You're staying in the monastery.
In the monastery, yeah. Ingby was
there.
There's a four to a room, So you all rearrange yourselves, four to a room.
Not a problem.
Then Brother Teo, how?
Can.
They have two.
The rooming there, no problem.
They have two to a room as well. Yeah.
They will separate the male and female one. You don't worry. Couple can stay. So good, Yeah, Sui Yan.
So we have to ask the tour guide, they are paying on our behalf, I think.
No, you tell them to donate all the money to them. Yes, they'll donate all the money to them. Yeah. Yes, if it is free, donate all the money to them, whatever he has budgeted. Yes, it's included. He has budgeted.
Then we go to Taichung.
Taichung
somewhere here. After that, we move about. Then we go all the way back to Taipei.
Yeah, the airport.
And then we go up here somewhere to go to Fakusan.
Yes. Joy say it's very nice. Very nice.
We'll take lunch at Pak Kut San.
Yeah.
Mm. Are we not staying there? No. You're only staying in one place. In Fo Kwang San in Kaohsiung.
Yeah.
In the monastery.
Then you are in Taipei, we are going up the Tower 101. Huh? We already asked the tour to book the revolving.
We also paid
for it already.
Paid to go up to the
It's already paid for.
To the revolving restaurant at the top at 101 building.
Yeah, inclusive of that.
To see the whole
view,
of Taipei.
The view, the revolving floor. No, lunch is somewhere else down there.
Shopping mall.
Shopping mall.
Okay, then you have some shopping in Taipei.
Yeah. Then the last day we visit one place, I think.
We have a tour of Taipei, and then after that we will proceed to the airport.
Yeah.
In
case you want to buy some stuff, because Taiwan is famous for all their little tidbits and pastry.
In the airport?
No, it's a shop outside the airport.
Okay, good. Yeah, Mifo.
Yes. We're going to six temples altogether.
Yeah. We should go. That's why Hui Rong, I remember, insists that we go there. That's why I was in the itinerary. Yeah.
She knows which are the popular temples.
So we were lucky because Hui Rong is from Taiwan. She's a Taiwanese. And she is one of our very good Dharma friends too. She got a lot of faith. So she was the one that is very excited and wanted the tour. Okay? Anything else?
The clothes and the umbrella
attire,
and all that.
Attire, yes.
Attire and make sure you bring your raincoat and stuff to get there. You'll bring money to cover for two meals that are not included, because you're going to the night market. You look at the itinerary. There are 2 days. There's no lunch. Anne, you're here. You look out when you arrive first. You look out. They put FGS in the FGS on the placard. The placard,
Fo Kwang San FGS.
Banner.
That one is Mr. Tan, the organizer.
No. On arrival in Taipei.
Mr. Lee. Li. Mandarin. No, FGS. They just put FGS.
No, it's the tour agent.
They just put FGS.
They put FGS.
Short form for
Fo Kwang San. We will look out for two of y'all first.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you wait for us to come and then
go off together. We gather there to actually head count. Then after that, we will go. But the mass flight, you will arrive early. So early morning, you all have to leave for airport earlier. For us, we leave at 6:30 or 6:45 latest. Because our flight is 10. Yours is 9:30 or 9:25, I forgot.
9 o'clock.
Wow, so early.
Ours is 10 o'clock. The flight is leaving at 10. She's going by mass.
Two of them, yeah.
She and Sue.
So you know where to meet in Taiwan, in Taipei. So look for FGS. They will be there. I think they will receive the two of you first. So there is a Mr. Lee.
Sue didn't come.
You can text the phone number of that Lee to Sue and oh, you got the phone number. Oh, you can give.
Okay. I'll give you the phone number. In case his Taipei phone number. Just in case. You can't find the play card there. But anyway, you still it's the same airport. You wait. You all wait there, and we will be coming up.
Okay.
Yes, Joyce.
Sorry,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To the airport,
yeah.
Straight away we will go to the
check in. You check in and drop your luggage. No, meet at Royal Selangor here in front of immigration. You are at level 3, arrival. Departure. Arrival is level 1, departure is level 3. So you go in straight away. There is a check in counter. You check in, drop your baggage, then meet somewhere here for head count. Then you can have your breakfast if you want. Then after that, when we go through the custom, immigration. Then maybe custom check. Then you are either this one are the domestic and international. Here is domestic. So L1 to L2 is
22. L1 to L22.
Is domestic and international. So very likely we are over here.
We don't know.
Then sometimes you may have to go walk all the way to the link. Which what they call departure lounge we supposed to go to. Okay.
If we are here, then it's
so these are all where the plane is.
So you don't carry 7 kg. You have to lug your luggage all the way to the other side.
You try to use your travel gear for those who are not checking in the luggage. Otherwise, you need a roller. Okay, so I think we finalized. That's it.
Any more
questions? Can. You can wait there also. No problem. Easier.
They will come out. No, they will come out to the hall, and look out for that sign because they are looking for them first.
The two of them.
So they are going to look out for them. So they go out and look for them. Not they be looking out. Then after they will wait together and then wait for us, the rest of us, to go out.
So you look for the FGS sign. FGS. FGS. Okay.
Yes, Mifong.
Yes.
Whatever is not inside there, we are not going. What is that, Yuan?
Never mind. We will talk to them when we are there. No, we have a very relaxed and flexible tour program, which is the intention of this tour. Yeah, I also heard about that Poyen. They told me it's a very good one. Even 2 days also cannot finish. It's very big. But don't worry, because when you are there, things will just unfold. We will know what to do. We will talk to them, because it's meant to be a flexible tour. Then we see how it goes. No, don't worry about time. We talk to them and find out. Things will just work out, don't worry. Even if we worst come to the worst, we just pass by and show you where it is. Where is the location that pole? Yeah, Taipei itself. Oh, then can we got one whole morning?
Yeah, going to 101.
No. 101 was the night before, the day before. The next morning before we go airport. We have one morning. Never mind. We talk to them. Don't worry. We talk to them. No problem, because the Mr. Tan told us we can arrange with them. It's flexible.
Okay, one more thing. The tour guide will speak Mandarin, and I asked for alternative and Cantonese.
I think Taiwan more difficult, Cantonese.
No, he's giving
Hokkien.
They all can speak Hokkien. But especially ask for a tour guide who can also speak Cantonese.
Oh, okay.
So you can ask questions in Cantonese for those who don't.
No,
but majority of us are Hokkien speaking, ma. So not problem, or Mandarin speaking. So it should be okay.
Okay. We finish, huh?
Okay.
So now I will have a short one, spiritual meaning. Okay, for those who are going, always remember it's a spiritual come tour trip. It's supposed to be quite relaxed, but it's supposed to benefit you very much in a spiritual way. So for those who are going for the trip, you just have to recall to mind these three great Mahayana tradition that I spoke about that we are going to visit. The first one is Tsuji at Hualien. Tsuji is where this, what they call the lady master, Master Zhen Yan, I think. Zhen Yan Fasa, the very famous one, I think. Compassion in action is their number one specialty. So this is the place where we will pay visit to the temple. We will do our offering and donation, and we should all rejoice. But before you start the trip at home that morning, you can wake up early, prepare yourself, develop mindfulness, then do a simple puja. Then after that, maintain mindfulness and heedfulness. Then as you travel to the airport, everything, maintain some form of joy and heedfulness. Then for all those who are not going also, as Kayanamitta, you can rejoice because, like I explained, Kayanamitta Fund has donated a total of 2,000 for this offering that we are going to make in this trip. And we are going to pool all those who also donated on their own into a donation fund where we will do for everybody. We should rejoice. Sadhu first. Sadhu. Then after that, when you are there, like all the spiritual trip that those who have gone with me, even China, Thailand. Last time was Phuthosan, Uthaisan, Chuhasan and all those area. Then even Thailand, we've been there many times. You know, it's all very meaningful, very beautiful. So if you can compose your mind, develop your saddha, your faith, your virya, then sati and daily mindfulness, you will receive a lot of blessings. Then when your faith is very strong, your spiritual faculty develop, when you are at this way place, the three great Mahayana tradition, Phu Quang San, then at Kaohsiung is the singing fasi, the what they call Phu Quang San. Then at Taipei is Fa Ku San, Sheng Yan Fasa. The energy there, I believe, is very, very beautiful, very different and very strong. So you silence your mind, develop the spiritual faculty, you are going to absorb a lot of this good energy. Then when your faith is very strong, many things can happen. Then when we travel together as a group, our group consciousness is different. Now the Kayanamitta force is different, very different. That's why we delay 1 or 2 years for this trip. That was the main reason. So when you can really, really benefit from this trip, by the time you come back, you will know that every of these way places you go, develop the ability to contemplate, to reflect, then renew your faith, then make aspiration, okay? Then rejoice. Then since it's once a very long time, like maybe for many it could be the last trip to Taiwan, maybe you won't go again. So if that is the condition, you should tell yourself, whatever you can afford, you try to donate as much as you can, understand? Because a lot of these places, they are very, very meaningful. And they are very fertile for wholesomeness. So you can partake in whatever offering to all those great temples and traditions. You should try your best to do, because it will pave the way for many wholesome things to happen in the future. Okay? So with this, I will just conclude. Unless you got any question. Anybody got any question as to how you prepare yourself for this trip? Yes. Yes, yes. So Mimi wants me to elaborate a little bit on how for those who are going, you can make affinity with all the three great masters. So for Fa Gu San, Master Se Jian passed away about 2 years ago, if I'm not wrong. Even though physically he's not there, but he has a nature. So you have faith in him when you are there. You can actually develop affinity. First, you can rejoice with his great work and all of the great wholesomeness and meritorious, what they call opportunity and condition that he has created for people of Taiwan and the whole world. He is very famous and he specializes in meditation. You can actually request sincerely for causes and conditions for him to guide you along the path of Dhamma so that you can develop the meditation well, so that you can also awaken soon as possible. Then when you go to Chiji, you can develop the great compassion of Master Zhenyan Pastor. You can also pay respect to her. We were told if we go there early, she gives talk every morning. Their time is about 5 something in the morning to 6, which is about 1 hour later than our time or what, I'm not really sure. Same time, same time zone. So you can pay respect and make aspiration. Then you can do your whatever wholesomeness while you are there. You can make affinity. Then you can invoke the power of merits, whatever wholesomeness and donation that you have offered. May this arise across the same condition for Master Zhenyan to guide you in whatever perfection that she is good at, especially compassion in action. How to develop the great compassion in you so that that perfection can be cultivated as great as what she has cultivated it. Then when you go to singing Pasa, where the Fo Quang is, I was told it's a very beautiful place, monastery very big. Then they have this memorial which they just completed last year, also very big. We also donated over there. You can also make your whatever aspiration. Then you have the condition to meet up with Master Singing. You pay respect. Then all of the wholesomeness, you can also invoke the power of merits to help you in whatever way you want. So that this way place, which is the center of great Buddhist learning, can give you the causes and conditions to receive all these suttas, or what they call the great Buddhist learning. This is the best place to learn the teaching. That's why it is famous for great Buddhist learnings. So these three traditions, you combine them together, you become an all-rounder, fully evolved cultivator. Fa Gu San, you know how to meditate, his perfection. Then compassion in action, you know how to act and live. Then you learn the sutta from Fo Quang. Actually, you should go Fo Quang, learn the sutta, then meditate, then you do all the great things. So these are the three great traditions. That's why I say when they combine all their expertise, it evolves the great wisdom and virtue of Lord Buddha. Okay? So with that, we end. Yes.
For donation for charity, you can actually donate to Malaysia, in Malaysia.
Yes. You don't have to go there all the way.
The money you donate for Malaysia will be for the Malaysians. The money you donate in Taiwan will be for Taiwanese. The Taiwanese area, their needs.
The latest center in Kepong is already ready. How many of you have been there before?
Not quite ready yet.
Not quite ready yet, but it's already open.
They had the Vizag Day celebration there, but it's not totally ready yet. Only downstairs, I think. The first floor only. They haven't fixed up.
But it's a huge one, I was told. Because they received the donation for that big piece of land from a single owner. Then I was told they raised 100 over million cash from Malaysia alone to build that facility there, and to have funds for whatever program or planning that they have for that place. You have the condition, you should one day visit that place, see it for yourself. I was there at the groundbreaking ceremony a few years back. I went with Stephanie, my wife, and a few Dharma friends. We were invited. Then they have this very good way of monthly contribution or whatever donation if you want to make offering. And they will advise you as which specific donation. So a lot of people who understand, they benefited from all this wholesomeness. Because I got a brother who, the youngest one I told you earlier on, don't have any dharma. But he Mandarin educated. I don't know how to teach him. So I sent him to Tsuji. Oh, now he's one of the strongest supporter there. The faith very strong. And his life changed. He became very different. And he also, that time, a lot of people write him off. You know, he got no education, nothing. But he came out beautifully. And now he able to understand all this Buddhist teaching. That's why that place, if you got problem with your children or what, you got no dharma, no problem, you send them there first. Because they will go through the compassion in action, that only they learn the dharma one. It's the other way around. So you go there, they will become different on their own. But there must be condition too. Okay? So we end, huh? Yes. Yes. We can actually split up some funds to donate here too, but don't worry, because on our side we see how it goes. End of the day, if there's any surplus or what, we donate back to Tsuji Malaysia. Okay. For Kong Malaysia, yes. Can. So we reserve a certain amount, then we donate to Malaysia side too. But this one is different because this tour is unique. I can sense it. It's going to be a very, very beautiful tour. And the condition all fall into place. Then now most of Kayana Metta already have that understanding. And it will be very meaningful when you travel. The group collective consciousness and energy is different. And there, if I'm not wrong, many of those non-humans are waiting for us to arrive too. And it's just like all the other places we go. And it is going to be beautiful. Okay? Any more questions? This time no more. Okay. So we start. Okay, exceeded 12 minutes. Never mind. So tonight, like I promised you, we have a very interesting topic. We're supposed to develop the understanding of who you are. Who are you? Or what are you? So anybody want to try? Who are you? What are you? Anybody? We have to start from basic, isn't it? So when you look around, what do you see? Who are you? What are you? Is the name that they give to you really what you are? Like Joyce. Is Joyce what she is? You laugh, You know that is the name, isn't it? Okay? So we go into reality. I don't know how to draw pretty girl. this one's good. Okay, let's say Joyce. You don't mind. Example only. Sister Joyce. Okay, so who is she? Very good. At least you cannot deny. She has a physical form, okay? Physical form. Then she has a mind, which is the consciousness. She has the mind, which is the consciousness. Okay. So the physical form, together with the consciousness, the Buddha call you the form and mind, okay? So this is nama rupa. Okay, can follow, But is this really you? Is this really you? This is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, first aspect. As a human being. So is this really you? You don't have to look at the Dhamma or look at the text or recall all those teachings. You just check. Reality check. Means what? You investigate. And now you investigate. Who are you? What are you? You know that you have a physical body. You cannot deny that. Then you have a mind, consciousness trapped inside. So this form and mind, is it really you? Don't want to answer. Because you know anatta, so you think not you. But then, every day, you hold on to it, you cling on to it, and you use it. And you don't know what it is. Asana. And you don't know who you are and what you are. So I ask you one very simple question. If you don't know who you are, what you are, then who is living your life? Who is living your life? The thought is living your life. That's why it's very important to understand who are you? What are you? How can we really investigate into the truth and reality of this form and mind? This is the first aspect as a human being. The Buddha said there is a second aspect to what you are. The second aspect is mental. Second aspect is the mental aspect. The mental aspect. And this mental aspect is what they call the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Aggregates of form and mind. So this aspect, you have to meditate to understand. What is this second aspect? How did it arise? How did it arise? Perception is one of the aggregates. You need the what? Senses. Very good. So this physical body got the five physical senses. Physical senses. Then there is a mind. Plus one mind door. So this six sense door become the sense basis. For consciousness to arise. So every moment of sense door contact, it will trigger off the respective sense door consciousness. Correct? You have your physical organ, your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, tactile. Upon contact, it will trigger off the respective consciousness. That's why you can have the ability to see, the seeing consciousness. You can arise it. The hearing consciousness, smell, taste, and tactile, which is part of your feeling. Then you can also arise the mind or thought consciousness. So this six sense door is the basis of life, basis of living, So how do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? Through your
senses, anasara, that trigger off consciousness. And when consciousness arises, what happens? Ah, that is where you meditate to understand whether this second aspect of you, are they also you? Or are they just something else? Yeah. So this second aspect is the five mental aggregates of form and mind. So every moment of consciousness, you already know there are four aspects of mind aggregate. Four types, of mind aggregate. What are they? What are the four? Eh? First one is what? Feeling. Then? Second one? Perception. Yes. Because this is what your mind can do. Okay? Then third one is sankhara, or activity of mind, or your thinking, mental state, everything. Then you can become conscious of things. So you know, these are the four types of mind aggregate. Then the form aggregate, mental form, how does it come about? Mental form. How does this form come about? Huh? How does it enter your mind? Huh? How does this mental form enter your mind? Through what? Huh? Through perception, isn't it? Sanya. So through this one. Huh? This one is sanya. So the moment you perceive the external mental form, the external phenomena enters your mind. So this is the mental form. So because of this mental form, which actually arises through sanya, within the mind, there is also the five aggregate of form and mind. Understand? So every moment of consciousness, which you call it the thought, understand? This whole thing is called the thought. Understand? Krishnamurti call it the thought. And the thought is the five mental aggregates of form and mind. And they arise and pass away every moment, every instant within your own form and mind. That's why you meditate to see this clearly. Understand? And then you will come to one realization which the Buddha came to realize. What is it? They are all? They have the characteristics of impermanence. The moment you grasp and cling, suffering comes to be. Then because of the impermanence, you can also see very clearly that they are not a permanent and changing entity that you can grasp onto and hold onto or deludedly cling onto as the me and the I, the Sakaya Diti. So because of that, it is anatta. And because they are impermanent, the reason being is they are all conditioned arising following nature's law. Alasana. All of their arising and passing away, every of these aggregate you check, including your physical form, the first aspect, they are all conditioned arising, impermanent, empty. You can understand that phrase. Why is it impermanent? Because condition arising. Without condition, it ceases to be. When condition is there, it arises. When condition continue to exist, it exists. But when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So how real can it be? As real as it can be, is only within the moment when it arises. Then the sustainance of it too. But during the sustenance, every moment the condition is again different. Anasana. But because the supporting conditions are still there, they like exist. Anasana. They like real, this physical body and mind, form and mind. That's why you deludedly grasp and cling to it and call it the I and the me. The I and the me. This is where the Buddha say, you got Sakaya Diti or self-delusion. Anasana. So you have to meditate to understand why this form and mind is not you. Can follow that? Can follow that? Yeah? So when you realize that the body and the mind with every aggregate, just like the Buddha described to you through the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, remember? Anatta Lakkhana, the Sutta on the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering and non-self or empty nature of existence. So the Buddha asks, is form, permanent. So you know that physical form, made of element, they go the way of nature. They will decay, they will get old, and one day, disappear. Understand? Disperse. So that's why it's impermanent. Yeah. Then the Buddha asked, is form satisfactory? Is it satisfactory? Definitely, you know, like, you'll get old, you'll get sick and die. You know? Even the beautiful flower will wither off. Understand? No? Everything will decay and be diseased. And finally, you call die or cease to be. So, if form is impermanent, and if his form is painful, not satisfactory, then is it right to call it, this is me, this is I, this can be mine? You see the point or not? Because you know it's condition arising, it will change. Then the words is, physical body only element, no knowing. Okay? Then it is unsatisfactory, because it goes the way of nature. It gets old, it gets sick, and one day, die. So that's why, because of that, this is not you, the Buddha said. Understand? Because whatever that is impermanent is not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to. That's why it is anatta. Understand? Then the other aspect is empty. Empty means what? As real as it can be, when the condition cease to be, it cease to be. Understand? That's why, like the Buddha said, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Then whatever that is born will die. Understand? So what has been born has already passed. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So that's why I say, no need to cry. Understand? No need to become sorrowful and lament, because this is not you. Understand? So if form is not you, then you go and check in the meditation. Feeling is the same. Is it permanent? Feeling? It come and go. Every moment you feel, you experience it going away. Then another consciousness, another feeling arises there. So similarly for perception, activity of mind and consciousness, they come and go, come and go, come and go. Asana. So you see the impermanent in your meditation, no? Not theory. No? You see them with the silent mind, no? Appearing, disappearing. No? Then you see clearly condition arising. Asana. Then you realize that they are unsatisfactory. Why? Because every feeling, no matter how pleasant, how good, will transform and change to become unsatisfactory. Right? Because you have duality, understand? You don't have equanimity, you don't have wisdom. You got craving, you got clinging, you got grasping. That's why you create duality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sensation or sense experience. So because of that feeling, impermanent and unsatisfactory. So because of that, the Buddha said, it cannot be you, in the sense, because it's not a permanent and changing entity. But the other thing that you ask is, which I realize myself is, if feeling is you, if that pleasant feeling that arises when it passes away, you should die with it, isn't it? Correct or not? Correct or not? If that feeling is you, understand? Then when it passes away and disappears, you should die, you know, because you are that feeling. Understand? But you didn't die, you know, the form is still around. You know. Every moment it arises and passes away, you're still around. You know. So how can feeling be you? Correct or not? And this is the easier way to realize that feeling is not you, understand? That it is anatta, non-self, empty. It comes and it goes, condition arising. So all these have the same characteristic. Then whatever mental form that you bring from the external phenomenal world into your mind, if you deludedly grasp and cling and give meaning and attach, suffering will be the result. Understand? That's why when you see things as they are, there is no form. Understand? That's why in the Surangama Sutta, they put this very important statement. They say perception of form is what? Sorry. perception of form is what? Huh? Perception of form is what? Ah, consciousness only, is it? Correct or not? Who perceive? What perceive? It arises through consciousness, is it? Then the second part is what? Whereas it's non-perception is? Ah! It's non-perception is wisdom. Why? Why does the Surangama Sutta state that? Yeah? You remember the Zen master, the Zen say? The student came running to the master. Master, master, I just awakened. I'm already enlightened. Then the master say, oh, very good. Then the master point to the table. What is that? Master, table. The master whack him. You enlightened, still got table. Means what? He is using the mundane mind to perceive form. Understand not? That's why perception of form is, perception is an aggregate of mind. Understand? That is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind, not the direct seeing. Direct seeing is before the knowing, before the aggregate of mind comes about. Understand? Not? When you see things as they are, you don't see anything. Understand? Not? That's like Kan San, Bu Su San. Understand? Not? The first one, they use mundane consciousness. That's why when they see mountain, they perceive it as mountain. Kan San, Su San. That's why when you have the true direct seeing, you see things as they are. There is no word, no perception, nothing. Thing is just the way it is. You cannot describe. You just aware. That's why the non-perception is wisdom. Then only you can see. Understand? Can follow now? Still cannot follow. Who perceive? What perceive? Thought perceive. Understand? Whereas the true nature never perceive anything. Understand? It's just aware. Understand? Can follow now? A bit difficult. You cannot, you tell me you cannot. Then we give you other example. Can follow a little bit, Oh, some of you can. Very good. You see, when you talk about perception, means seeing, understand? If you perceive through the thinking mind, mundane mind, then the aggregate comes out, understand? That's why you are no longer aware. You are no longer in sati, understand? That's why thought-based meditation, the moment thought is active, you never aware anymore. You are not in sati anymore. You never realize what sati is. That's why you cannot break free. So this is where the true Dhamma is. Every time you perceive form, that is consciousness, anasana, the five aggregate of form and mind. You are using the mundane mind. That's why you get trapped, because mundane mind has this activity going on. It has its wrong view, sakkayaditi, self-delusion. It has this ignorance. That's why it keeps on conditioning you to react. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning keep on causing you to be what they call trapped within. Whereas you silence your mind through your meditative training, you develop heedfulness, more and more of this moment of awareness, silent, the space between thought and the sound. When you are less heedless, less actively thinking or perceiving, then you just aware, aware, and aware. That's why you got two types of awareness. Spacious, general spacious awareness, where you just silent. Then whatever that arises, you want to know, you can know. Then you have the second type is specific, phenomenal awareness. Your awareness and the phenomena is one, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. Then you have to live life that way. Then your daily mindfulness become very different, very stable. And then you will see very clearly that this form and mind, they have the characteristics of impermanent. You will insight into phenomena. You will awaken to it. Then you realize this is not you. Okay? So this first aspect is very important. So if this is not you, then who are you? What are you? Is there a person inside there? But if all this aggregate of form and mind are not you, then the question is, how come it arises within your form and mind? It arises in you. They keep on arising and passing away. So what are they? Then who are you? What are you? Anybody want to try? Huh? Wow. Kayana Metta. Ah, yes. Really. Ah, very good. Okay. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. That is one way of explaining it. Okay. Anybody else? You can try, don't worry. Yeah? Based on your understanding, you just try. Like Lily, just try. Very good. Yeah. Because you must understand, a lot of things has to do with karma. Understand? Karma related. Because this five aggregate of form and mind, they are mundane consciousness within the conditioned world. That's why they are related deeply with karma. That's why the Buddha asks you to contemplate every day, the five daily contemplation. Remember the last one? What is it? What is the last contemplation? Yeah, yes, Lily. Oh, very good. Sadhu. Yes, very good. Very, very good. Sadhu. So you see, the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate that every day, that we are all, not only human beings, all living beings, without exception. We are all born out of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when the Buddha talked about the we, the I, the are, we are born out of karma, he is referring to this form and mind. Understand that? Understand that? He is not referring to your nature. Understand that? That's why when you study the sutta, you must understand clearly what is anatta. Anatta doesn't mean nothing. No. Understand? Anatta is not nothingness. No. Not no you, no I. No. Understand? There is such a thing as a form and mind. Understand? There is such a thing as a person who is born into this world. Understand? But when people say this is not you, it's because spiritually you don't have sakayaditi. Understand? What is sakayaditi? What is this word? Sakaya didi. Sakaya. Kaya is your body. Diti is view. What is sakaya didi? No. Self-delusion. Self-delusion. It's not wrong view. Self-delusion. Means kaya. Sakaya. Wrong. View with regards to the atta, the self, the kaya, understand? So the Buddha said, if you deludedly grasp and cling onto this five aggregate form and mind and thinking that there is a person inside there, understand? That there is a personality that can own things, that can have things, that can become angry, emotional, and become fearful, then that is sakkayaditti. That is wrong self delusion, understand? Which is also one of the wrong view, understand? So when this is understood, then you will realize conventionally there is a I and a me, understand? That's why I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So this form and mind, which the Buddha referred to, because he's talking about mundane, conditioned arising world, understand? Mundane Dhamma. That's why there is an I and a me. But the supramundane is anatta. Empty. Non-self. Not no self. No. Non-self. That's all, no. So when you come to this understanding, then you can move. That's all, no. Then you will come to know that this guy is what the Buddha say, born of your karma. Karena. So this form of mind is born of your karma. Okay? That one we can sure confirm now. Karena. So the form of mind is, or human being, is born of karma. Understand? This one now is clear, right? Understand? Not? That's why last time I always tell you, this is not you. Understand? Not? Well, this is karmically conditioned out for you to use, to come to this world. Understand? Not? You know what is karmically conditioned out, isn't it? That's why born of karma, understand? Not? Or karmically conditioned. Out to this world. We have to come to this world, this universe, this 31 plane of existence. You need a form and mind, understand? Not? And this form and mind, which is for us as human being, is the human being. Other rhyme of existence is a form and a mind, understand? Not? You have the karma loka, sensual world. You have the form Rupa Loka, which is the form world, then you have the formless rhyme, Arupa Loka. Asana. So their form and their mind is different. Asana. In the Arupa Loka, there is no physical form. Even in the Rupa Loka, there is only this form, but there is no sensual desire and all those things. Asana. That's why it's not a sensual rhyme. Asana. It's a form rhyme. Yeah. So when you start to understand this, then you will know this one is karmically conditioned out for us to use, for us to come to this universe, understand? Then what is the one that is responsible for its coming? That's like each and every living being, you got two parts. You got one, the spiritual nature. Then you got another part, which is karmic nature. Karmic nature. So this karmic nature is the summation of all the karmic accumulation since the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned you to be what you are now. As the billions and billions of birth and death, they all accumulate and recorded in nature's law. And the law of karma becomes your karmic nature. That's why your last thought, rebirth consciousness, will condition the next rebirth. Understand? Understand? Yeah? So rebirth consciousness will condition this form and mind to take birth. Understand? So when you understand that, you ask yourself, if this is not me, then how can I understand who am I? What am I? How do I move from there? How can I understand that there is a karmic nature that is responsible for this form and mind's coming? That's why you need to meditate. Understand? You need to meditate. So this form and mind must meditate. When you meditate, what happens? When you silence your mind, you develop awareness, sati. Then you can connect to your true mind. Asana, the silent mind, the awareness within, the eternal mind, or nature, or original nature. When you connect and see things as they are, then you realize that nature inside is not a person. Asana, it's not a being or anything that you can call, because it is without name, without words. There is no thought, no aggregate of mind. It's just pure nature. And the characteristic of it is just where? The essence of mind, the true mind. So when you connect, then this true mind without thought, seeing as they are, and awaken to all this teaching, this understanding of the three characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Then when he realized that, this form am I no longer deluded. Understand? Can follow that? And then this one don't suffer anymore. Understand? This form am I don't suffer anymore. And then you say, this form am I enlightened. Okay? But this is not you. Understand? You deluded it, cling on to it, and say you enlightened. then you have to check the enlightenment, asana. Because there is still avijja, sakkayadhiti, self-delusion. So what happens is, the moment you connect, you will come to know that there is this nature. There is a spiritual nature that governs all of spiritual activity and happening. But the problem with this spiritual nature is not everybody has perfected it, anasana. Only certain beings that have really cultivated, they have perfected it. Otherwise, you need to every time connect, then perfect it or develop it. Yeah? Means in stages you cultivate, just like karma, anasana. In stages you build it up. Until this karmic nature is so beautiful that every time you come, this form and mind has all the condition to connect, anasana. Then you can, from there, continue with your spiritual cultivation and development to build up this spiritual nature. And this one can be your Dhamma body or Sambhogaya-kaya. Sambhogaya-kaya. Means your spiritual body or Dhamma, or what they call spiritual perfection body. Yeah? Yeah. Then your this form and mind is your functional body, yeah, that perform the function of a human being here. Yeah? Functional body. Or they call it the Nimanakaya. 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 Yeah. Then when you are ready and your perfection is complete, just like Samasambuddha, Sakyamuni or Amitabha, at the night of the enlightenment, the Sambhogaya Kaya comes and combines with this Nimana Kaya, then this form and mind, together with the Sambhogaya Kaya, becomes the Dhamma Kaya, anasana, that speaks the Dhamma body, Dhamma Kaya. Okay? Can follow that? Oh, we still got a lot of time. So I no need to rush. Huh? So the general picture is, you must understand, that's why the Buddha said, the first right view is what? Huh? Law of karma. Anasana. That is your first right view. When you know that there is a law of karma that governs all of life and existence, what must you do? Huh? Take care of karma. That's why all the teaching come from here. Anasana. Take care of karma. How do you take care of karma? Yeah? The Buddha's advice is there. You have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. How do you avoid all evil? Yeah? How? You have to keep your precept, isn't it? But how can you keep your precept? You have to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful, correct? Otherwise, you cannot see your mental intention. You cannot see your heedlessness. You cannot see your evil root. That's why you don't even know what is evil. So how can you cultivate? That's why the first thing is to understand the three evil roots. Then develop mindfulness to see this evil root, which is the root of all evil, and it will make you very evil. Not until you have this mindfulness to see the evil root, to understand clearly that you are conditioned into negativity because of your wrong view. Understand? Lack of understanding of the Dhamma, which is the characteristics of nature. When you delude the grubs and cling onto this fire aggregate form of mind, thinking that this one is you, that's why suffering will follow you. Understand? The fire aggregate of grubs brings about dukkha, suffering. So this law of karma is very important, and it keeps on accumulating. Understand? That's why every life you come, you must determine to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. So when you want to avoid all evil, you have to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful, and you have to develop the Dhamma understanding of what is evil, so that you can develop it. Then arise the four right effort. The four right effort to do what? Yeah? First right effort is what? To abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome action and speech that you have arisen. Correct or not? So when you see them with mindfulness, you determine to arise a right effort to abandon them. How to abandon them? Huh? How to abandon them? There are five ways that the Buddha teach. Correct? First one is what? Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought so that this negative thought cannot arise. Understand not? If you got a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, then you develop more and more loving kindness and metta. Understand not? You got a lot of lust, a lot of greed, you develop contentment, you develop love and compassion. Understand not? Then you have got a lot of cruelty, you also develop compassion. Understand not? You got a lot of fear, a lot of delusion, then you develop wisdom. Understand not? So this first one is thought-based. Understand not? That's why I use the word think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. It's still a thought. Understand not? The second right effort is what? The second is think of the consequences. To abandon the wrong thought and all things. Think of the consequences of holding on to that wrong thought. Understand not? Or that wrong action and speech. If you continue to do that, these are evil, root of all evil, it will make you evil. Karmically, you will fall. That every time you come to this world, when you take birth, this form and mind will inherit everything. Understand not? You are born of this karma, heir to this karma. You are conditioned and supported by this karmic nature, and you are what you are because it's karmic. So if you don't take care of karma, you sure get into big trouble. Understand not? When you come. That's why you like very soy one. Everything also not right one. Then you blame who? You blame everybody except yourself. Sometimes you become so deluded, you blame yourself too. So once you understand the consequence of allowing this wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action to continue to arise in you, then your karmic nature will fall. Then you will determine to abandon it. Understand? Then the second one is, later on, when you are more and more mindful, before it arises, you can prevent it from arising. Understand? The second right effort to prevent it from arising. Yeah. Then the third right effort is what? To cultivate the wholesome thought, wholesome speech, and wholesome action that is still not in you. Understand? How do you do that? That's why you must reflect and contemplate what is wholesome. Understand? What are right thoughts? The absence of negativity is right. Any of the virtue that is without the evil roots, they are right thought, wholesome thought. So all of your, what they call virtue, like loving kindness, compassion, generosity, sincerity, gratitude, respect, honesty, all of the what they call good virtue, you should develop more and more, more and more. Then the third way is meditative, to counter the unwholesome thought or the wrong action and wrong speech. What is the third way? Just silence your mind. Understand? The moment you silence means what? You don't think. Understand? And that silence is your true mind. And that one can understand what is going on. So whatever there is condition arising, if you silent and don't give it any more thought energy, you don't react to it, don't cling on to it, and don't be afflicted by it, it loses its power. Understand? Then like anger, as you silent your mind and feel the anger, the emotion, what happened to it? What happened to it? It was ceased to be there. Here you don't give it any more meaning, you're just silent. That's why Krishnamurti defined awareness as what? Awareness as what? The silent and choiceless observation of what is. Understand or not? Can you remember or not? 2 weeks ago or earlier on, we just went through that. You go and read the quote again. What is the sati? What is awareness? He said, you must have an awareness, which is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Understand? Choiceless means what? You don't make choice. You don't discriminate. You don't react. You don't do anything. Understand? And what is silent? Don't do anything. That's why meditation is the reverse of thought base. You don't go and note and do all those things. You just silence your mind and you will understand everything. The moment you are silent, you will see the conditioned arisen state of anger or emotion or fear. They will just cease to be because it is energy field. When you don't give it any more mental energy to become more fearful or more angry, then it will cease to be. And then when you experience that, you will realize that, hey, this is beautiful. I don't have to do anything. All these so-called evil roots of great hatred and delusion, they are all conditioned arising state within the mind. They are the mundane mind. They are not the true mind. The true mind is already perfect, silent, still. Understand? Peaceful. Beautiful. But you deludedly go and do so many things that make it restless. Make it deluded. Through what? Through your wrong view. Through your sakkayadity. So all this you will come to realize if you cultivate the third way. You just meditate by being silent. Inwardly aware. No need to do anything. And that is the real meditation. Asana. Even in your daily mindfulness, you're just silent and aware. Then that two type of mindfulness, spacious awareness and the phenomenal, specific phenomenal awareness, will allow you to have the silent mind where you are just aware most of the time without thought. And because of that, there is clarity. You are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with any emotion or thought. That's why your mind has clarity. It can see things as they are. It can understand things easily. Then it can insight into phenomena. Then it can awaken. And without thought, it will realize the truth, the characteristics of nature, everything. So when that happens, there is a type of wisdom they call panya. It will arise within that form of mind. That nature that sees it, awaken to it, will allow this wisdom to stay within the form of mind. And this form of mind with that wisdom is no longer deluded. That's why it doesn't suffer anymore. That's why after that, all the action, speech, and thought, the Noble Eightfold Path will be there. He become a noble one, enlightened one. That's why after that, the spiritual nature will keep on developing. Because when you already not capable of negativity, everything you do is perfect. And then that time, your right effort to cultivate the wholesomeness of mind, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, no more problem. The four foundation of mindfulness, no more problem. The spiritual faculty, no more problem. That's how your cultivation will progress. And step by step, you will touch that nature. Then you will connect. Then you, again, evolve. That's why this spiritual nature will be like the karmic nature, continue to evolve until that nature is so powerful, like those Bodhisattva and Buddha. They don't have to be there because it has the vow has become part of nature's law, and it will just manifest. Whomsoever who can connect, sincere, have the spiritual faculty, they will receive. That's why their nature is ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. As long as you are sincere, you have the faith, the sattva virya, sati, you will connect. Can follow that? Can follow? So, first thing is, take care of karma, develop the right view, then cultivate. Then as you cultivate, your awareness is not only to take care of avoiding evil, do good, anasana. Then what must you do? You go into Sama Sati Anasana, which is the four foundation of mindfulness, which is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for bringing about the realization of the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. Yeah. So you have to cultivate these four foundation of mindfulness. So Sama Sati need to develop. That's like the four foundation of mindfulness you need to cultivate. Then as you develop more and more, the wisdom will arise. Then as you develop sati, when it becomes very stable, samadhi will also arise. So sati and samadhi together will allow you to develop the clarity of mind to awaken. That's why panya, the last spiritual faculty, will arise. So when panya arises, you will have right view. And your right view will see clearly not only the law of karma. Law of karma is to avoid evil to good. But purify the mind, you need samasati and asana. To straighten your view, you need samasati and samadhi. So when you have that, you will come to understand the second, what they call right view, that the Buddha talked about. Yeah? You will understand the Four Noble Truths. Then you will understand the third right view, which is dependent origination. How you function as a human being. How your form and mind, five aggregate of form and mind, mental and the first aspect, how they come to be. How they arise and how they pass away. Yeah. You will see them clearly, the condition arising nature. Their impermanent, their suffering state, and their empty or non-self nature. So the moment you understand all this, then you realize that you only need to take care of karma, then purify your mind and connect, then develop your spiritual nature. So that every life you come, this spiritual nature is already developed. Understand? Then because of your karmic nature that is also developed, every life you come, this form and mind of the human being that you take, they will have all the, what they call, parami that you have developed. Understand? And this will ensure that you have a very beautiful form and mind. All the DNA coding, all the characteristics, everything that comes with this form and mind is supported by this karmic nature. That's why this karmic nature will take care of this form and mind. Then when the time comes, because of your spiritual vow, aspiration, affinity, this form and mind will know how to walk the way. Then it will condition you to connect. Then you will know how to go and meditate. Yeah, the condition will arise for you to meditate. People will come to you, just like what happened to me in 1980-something. The teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. I didn't do anything. Yeah. Then I just know how to walk this way. Yeah. How can I know all these things? It's because of this and this. Understand? So that's why you want to understand who you are, what you are. You have to know how you come. This form and mind, which the Buddha called, you are born of your karma, head of your karma conditions, is the mundane form and mind. Understand? Not? Karmically conditioned out for you to use. So you don't deludedly grasp and cling to it. Understand? Not? That's why within the mundane world, the conditioned arising world, there is this law of karma. And law of karma recognizes relationship. Remember that. Okay? Don't say, hey, no you, hey, no me, you know. Then you don't care, you do what you like. I never kill anybody, you know. No such thing. When you live within the conditioned world, nature's law, law of karma, recognizes relationship. And this one you must bear in mind. Because it recognizes relationship. Even though it's anatta, but there is such thing as form and mind and life, and so there is such thing as your parent, your children, and all those things. You can love them, care for them, provide for them, but don't deludedly attach and cling. What the Buddha wants you to develop is these are all conditionalizing, not real. And so don't attach, don't cling, so that you don't suffer. But you have a duty to perform so that this karmic nature, understand? Evolve, understand? That's why the five types of heavy karma, remember? The Buddha talk about the five types of heavy karma. What are they? Huh? Ah, very good. First two is patricide and matricide. Killing of father and mother. How to spell patricide and matricide? I don't know. Patri. T-R-I. CID. Oh, very good. Patricide, matricide. I or E? I, yeah? So, this one recognize relationship, correct? Or not? You kill your father and mother, heavy karma, understand? Or not? That's the law of karma, recognizes relationship. You don't go and simply say, hey, Buddha say anatta la. I didn't kill anybody la. This form of mind not me la. My parent one also not them la. You deludedly go and do law of karma. Behave differently. Anasana. Just like live wire. The live wire never say, hey, you virtuous, you touch, I won't electrocute you. Got such thing or not? But these are nature's law, is it not? It just obey that law. If you are not protected, not insulated, it will electrocute you, even how virtuous you may be. Is it not? That's why you must know that these are nature's law that governs life and existence, and they recognize this relationship. Third one is what? Killing of an arahant. Eh? Killing of and arahant. Fourth one is what? No. Fourth one is hurting the Buddha. No, hurting the Buddha, this one. Sikhism is the last one. This one, Brother Tay will know. Then, last one is Sikhism. How is that? Oh, no why. Sikhism, huh? So all this, you look at it, recognize the relationship, understand? Understand? So law of karma recognizes relationship. So you don't play a fool with karma, understand? There is such thing as good friend too, understand? Your children, you have a duty. Fellow human being, fellow humanity, nature, everything has its life, understand? The plant, they are living things. A lot of things, the cells, everything. All sorts of form and mind within existence. They have life. That's why you need to be sensitive. You need to have love, compassion. You need to have that sensitivity through Dhamma, through mindfulness, to be aware. To feel for everything. Then your mind becomes very different. Then when you connect, you realize your true mind is another nature. And that one is not a being, not a person inside that. But this one is a nature. That's why karma is not a permanent entity. That's why I say it's not really called a storehouse of consciousness. It's not belonging to you. It's a nature, anasana. All of your accumulated happening form that nature, anasana. Just like the great nature of the universe, anasana. All of the laws of nature that governs nature is what nature is all about. Then within nature's law, you have your spiritual law, law of karma, law of the mind, law of Dhamma. And all this, you need to understand. That's why you need to understand both the mundane and the supramundane. This one is the supramundane. Here is the supramundane. The spiritual nature, supramundane. This is beyond the mundane. Whereas this is within existential world, is the mundane. Understand? So you need to understand the mundane and the supramundane world. The supramundane is the spiritual world, beyond the conditioned world. And this one, the mundane world, is the condition arising world. So now you know the secret of life. You know who you are, what you are. So you don't deludedly grasp anymore. You make full use of this one to work your way up. Karmically, spiritually. Now that you have this understanding of the mundane and supramundane, you must make full use of this form and mind to cultivate. That's why strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless anymore. Because you cannot guarantee how long you live. Life is very uncertain. This form and mind is very fragile. Understand? Very dedicated. Very delicate, not delicate. Delicate, is it? very fragile like that, very delicate, not dedicated, sorry, very delicate. That's all. Because this one very easily, the condition gone. The three conditions that supported this form and mind, so that it can continue to function as a human being, like real, exist, is what? First, the form and the mind. Understand not? The physical body, which is functional, and the consciousness trapped inside, karmically. These two conditions, not enough. You need the third one. What is the third one? The karmic force through this karmic nature. This one introduced, apart from the form and mind, this one introduced the karmic force. Understand not? That support the existence of this form and mind. This one going. So you have this consciousness, this physical body, together the karmic force, three. They must be there, the condition for it to exist. If karmic force is no more, means what? Destructive karmic force. Heartbeat stop. Understand? There is no more karmic force to pump. And then they say die. Then consciousness separate from my mind, disperse. You say die. Understand? Then if karmic force still there, but you get an accident, spinal cord break, the physical body cannot allow the consciousness to continue because it cannot sustain. So again, with the karmic force and the consciousness, no use, it leaves. Understand? Like kapasing, yes. Because that one is very sudden, the accident, then very sudden. Then when this consciousness come out, this one is the whatever random that is inside here, accumulated over the years as you live, this one come out. But before it come out, the last thought moment, the rebirth consciousness is already there. Understand? Then this rebirth consciousness, this born of the karma, heir to the karma, conditioning supported by the karma, and the form and mind that come out is all what karma has already coded or characterized. So that's why each and every one of us, we are born of karma, heir to karma, conditioning supported by karma, and we are what we are because of this karma. So karmic is very important. So take care of karma, build up your karmic nature. So that every life you come, you have a good form and mind. Asana. It's like in our world. If you cultivate a lot of good merits, it's like you have cultivated a lot of diligent hard work. Means you accumulate a lot of money, asana, wealth. Then what happened? Let's say you got a car that is already maybe many years old, or an old junk, that you want to change over to a new car. So what you do? You sell it, or you change over to a new car. But because you have money, understand? Or then you can buy a better car, correct? A better car that suits you better, that performs better. Otherwise, what happens? Like if your karmic nature very weak, no money inside, cannot even afford a old junk. So what you have? Volkswagen. You know why it's a Volkswagen? Not Volks, walking. No car. That's how you suffer. But if you have that karmic nature, it's like this life you did very well, you're very successful. Whatever nice car, this form and mind that you want to have, you can have. Then you can see the performance is different. When you sit in that car, when you drive and travel, it's very safe, understand? And it performs. Then it's very easy for you to use that car to do many things, understand? Even to help people and all those things. But if you don't have money and you got no means, so you have to allow whatever that is possible. Means sometimes you don't even have a proper car. You have to walk, take public transport. Then accumulate slowly, slowly. Buy motorbike first, like we all student time, MU. That time also borrow from my brother. Then after that, come out to work, accumulate, or then buy first car, government loan some more. Father-in-law also contribute a bit, had to pay back. So, not easy, Ah, then later on, as you become successful, you buy your own car, you buy your own house. So law of karma is like that. If you develop the perfection of this karmic nature, then you come, this form and mind beautiful, all the condition is there, you are born of it, here to eat conditions. But that's why everything goes your way. Everything is provided for, understand? And the condition is like you are very lucky, understand? So now you know, who you are, what you are, and how to come. So your only problem is what? Strive on with heedfulness. Transform these two, understand? These two, if you don't have the spiritual understanding, you deludedly, you do not have any idea or inkling of what it is. That's why they cannot live life, they cannot cultivate, understand? But you are lucky, understand? You have the Dhamma, and you have somebody to explain this to you. Then you can focus your cultivation. If you do just this, you will evolve and progress very fast. Forget even about enlightenment. This way you go very fast, I tell you. Just take care of karma. Then cultivate. Develop your spiritual nature. And I tell you, you will continue to evolve and become beautiful. Okay? So you got any question? Why, we still got 15 to 16 minutes. Not bad, Ah, yes. Use this one. Yeah.
Can you enlighten us that, you see, as a cultivator, some would like to take the arahantship and some would like to go for the bodhisattva ways. So, you know, I'm actually quite keen to know, so I hope you can enlighten me on this.
Okay, this is a frequent question. Most people, as they cultivate, they actually have this question. Then some, they read up certain book. I think most of us are familiar with Achaman. Achaman, you read the biography, you will come to one statement where the disciple, I think, if I'm not wrong, is Longtha Mahabhuwa. I think it was mentioned by a few of his disciples that he originally took the bodhisattva way. Then he realized it was too long. So that life he decided to end everything and become arahant and finish. That is the story you hear. That's why you had this question. Then you also have the other story that the Theravada not too happy to really accept the command of Mahayana. You know what Mahayana say or not? But please, don't allow this to create misunderstanding. I want to clarify this point, very important. They always say, the Mahayana say, the Arahan, after they become enlightened, they only seek self-enlightenment. You heard of this? Means its own enlightenment. Then it doesn't develop the great compassion to save all beings, understand, to become a samasambuddha and all those things. So they use this word. Arahants still got outflow. But they have their reason one actually. So don't get them wrong, understand. But if they use the word selfish, it's wrong, understand. Because arahant is enlightened. There is no selfishness, understand. You understand? Get that point right. It's not selfish to realize enlightenment first, understand? But if you are destined to take that way, the bodhisattva way, you will know one. Your nature will know one. But you must actually develop that faith, what they call that aspiration, way before you become arahant, understand? And that nature will know one. Then when you are already on the way, then as you cultivate, actually before you take that vow and that aspiration, you already have very, very deep understanding of the Dhamma, and you know you can clear it very fast. But because of your great compassion for living beings, for the greater way. Your nature will know. It will arouse in your nature a very, very, what they call strong determination to make that vow, to make that aspiration to go the way of Buddhahood. Just like Sakyamuni, when there was a shipwreck during the very, very early days, where he had only managed to save the mother, then he saw so many drown, die. And that resolve brings about the condition for him to become Sakyamuni Buddha later on. Yeah. So everyone is different. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that. To me, you just cultivate asana. Whatever will be, arahant already beautiful asana. Don't try to aim too high when you are not there yet. But when the condition is there, it will happen by itself, automatic asana. Then the guidance, the spiritual friend, especially when you have great spiritual friends, their nature will tell you, and you can still decide, and you can still walk the way. It's not difficult. But if you are not the one that is determined, you don't have that strength and the perseverance, then this way is very difficult, understand? Because it demands a lot of perseverance, a lot of faith, a lot of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Yeah. You need to perfect them all. So, for the time being, no need to think about this question. Just cultivate, part by part, step by step. Then, come to a point where you will know, your nature will know. Then rejoice first. When Sakayaditi no more, at least Sotapan already. Then after that, continue. Like King Saka. You know why King Saka want to stay there as a Sotapanna? He got 7 more lives. Can be reborn into the sensual world. Yeah? 7 more times. Otherwise, if you hit Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, you can only come back to the sensual world once. They call it the once returner. You heard of this? Yeah? Then you hit too fast. Anagami, non-returner. You don't come back. You go pure abode. Oh, that one sure arahant already. You cannot come back and cultivate anymore. So, don't worry. Yeah? At least that is also beautiful. Understand? So, all this, yes. Yeah. Correct. But every life you come, you continue to stay at Sotapan. Understand? Then your 7 time will be fulfilled. So. Correct. But you continue to stay Sotapan, so you cannot even go to Sakayadagami. You cannot be a once returner.
The last life you will.
Oh, definitely. So that's why you want to come for at least 6 more times to the sanctuary. Because he loved this place so much. But different people, different. That's why you want to do like that. You might as well walk the Bodhisattva way. Then you can come back for eons and eons and eons. Understand? No need to wait for 7 lives. But a lot of people complain. Oh, so many eons. Sakyamuni wisdom way, 3¾ asaṅkhaya kapasa. 3¾ world cycle. No? If you take Amitabha way, you know how many world cycles? No? 12 world cycles. 3 times the time Sakyamuni Buddha take. That's why he got pure land. Understand? He perfect it until can create pure land. Understand? Then those who go by virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity, if you use that as your what they call perfection to take the spiritual way, means virya, perseverance and all those things, then it will take you 8 will cycle. That's why wisdom way is the fastest. You can perfect them very fast. Okay? Okay, you got 8 more minutes. Any more question? You clear all that? If you're not clear, you better ask. But this is not easy to understand. Normally, I seldom talk about this because this is way beyond the normal cultivation. But these are for people who already have the condition and can understand, so that they know how to develop. Because there are some who has this condition. Then if you want to go the full Samasambuddha way or Bodhisattva way, you have to cultivate this spiritual perfection until this nature completes the 10 perfection. The 10 perfection. You must complete it. And then this one, the Buddha nature, become one with the source. Then that Buddha nature is all nature, oneness nature. That's why the Samasambuddha is very unique. It is the source of all things. It like perfect. But if you take care of this one enough, this one can make you come back and live very good life, beautiful life. But you need wisdom. You need to connect and develop some form of wisdom. Otherwise, after you spend a long time in the Deva plane, you still fall back to the human plane. Then sometimes not so fortunate, go down to the four woeful state. That's why the sixth rhyme they call Liu Tao Lun Hui. The sixth rhyme is the four willful rhyme, the human rhyme, the fifth, and the Deva. All of those that you develop, the Deva plane, the Brahma plane, and the formless rhyme, they call it the Tian Fa Jie, means the heavenly rhymes. So they call that one. So 1 + 5 = 6. That's why in the Mahayana, the Liu Tao Lun Hui is actually your 31 plane of existence. This sixth path you flow and move around. But when you are born in the heavens, you tend to have better life, much better. Even the human rhyme is called Kamaloka Sukati, happy rhyme. But if you're born as a human and suffer, then it's not Sukati for you. It's Kamaloka Dukati for you. So life is pretty straightforward. You have to decide what you want in life. That's why I always tell you, your life, you decide how you want to live. So basically, Dhamma can be understood quite easily, but the hard work is the cultivation. That's why you have to strive on with heedfulness. Cultivate your faith very strongly and develop the other four spiritual faculties, especially sati. Then you will progress very fast. Okay? Any more questions? No more questions. So we end. Okay. We will do the sadhu, rejoice. We will do the sharing of merits, then transfer merits, then you all can invoke the blessing for the country, then after that, make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akka satta ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform marriage to Departed One. Hidang minya tina hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Hidang minya tina hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Hidang minya tina hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. There are some Dhamma books here. For who? Oh, from Klang. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu. Those who want Ajahn Mahabodhi Part 1, Part 2, Forest Dhamma, or Forest Dasanas, you can have them. Joyce, last time you were looking for this. You can take. Part 1, Part 2, all there. No, down there, down there. The brown one is volume 1. No, not here. Okay. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, no class. I think stop for 2 weeks. Isn't it? Only 1 week. Wow, you're so lucky. Tuesday class stop 3 weeks. Oh, well, we go on Tuesday, come back on Tuesday. Okay, yeah.